Welcome back to the Pre-Construction Podcast. What is the crack? The crack today is we have got a fan on the podcast. How nice is that to hear? We've got none other than JD King. He is Regional Director of Pre-Construction for Lemoyne in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Now, JD reached out to me and said, Gareth, I'm a fan of the podcast. I love listening to it. I think I've got something to add. And boy, does he have something to add. He, to me, is a young gun within the pre-construction space, and you'll see why. The reason I call him young, he's the same age as me, of course. Now, he started his career, believe it or not, and let me go off on a bit of a tangent quickly. He started studying something different, not a construction management degree. He was biological sciences degree in college, so he wanted to become a doctor. And he didn't become a doctor. He is now the doctor of construction. And you'll know and understand why I've nicknamed him that as you go through the podcast. This guy is a practical thinker. He's polished. He's impressive. And his story, the way he has climbed the corporate ladder into regional director, is mightily impressive. Listen, enjoy this one. I hope you do. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. As always, let's hear from our two sponsors. We have got Steve Del Orto, CEO and founder of Concentric, as well as the president of Beck Technology, Stuart Carroll. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Steve Del Orto, founder and CEO of Concentric, the first holistic platform for pre-construction. As a former executive officer of one of the largest general contractors in the U.S., I have experienced firsthand the challenges the industry is facing, particularly in pre-construction. Pre-construction is still a highly manual and fractured collection of processes. Essential information is kept in ad hoc, scattered spreadsheets and documents, which really limits the understanding and hides the full picture of a project for all those involved. Concentric is here to change that. Our 360-degree platform unites data, workflows, and people. With Concentric, you and your team can access real-time insights and data, assess and mitigate risk to ensure a successful project outcome, and most importantly, unlock the enormous capacity of your talent and your data. To learn more about Concentric and to book a demo, head to our website, concentric.com. That's spelled concentric.com. Concentric, it's pre-construction recalibrated for the modern builder.
JD King, welcome to the Pre-Construction Podcast.
Thanks.
Good man. I'm looking forward to getting a bit of crack out of you. I hear so anybody that doesn't know JD, this is his first podcast, so I love fresh meat. We're going to get to the bottom of a lot of things here.
Great, great. Sounds good.
Good man. Okay, JD. Well, listen, let's jump straight into it. For anybody that doesn't know you, give us a quick bio.
Sure. So JD King, Regional Director of Precon for Lemoyne, vertical construction contractor, multiple departments from vertical construction. We do some self-perform work, earthwork, drywall, civil, and then some infrastructure work as well, and also have an arm that does disaster recovery. But I work in our vertical construction department, lead a team of about 18 pre-con professionals in Louisiana, offices Lafayette, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans.
Brilliant. 18, my God, brilliant. And again, I was going off your degree. You finished your degree 2005, 2006. Amazing success for someone at such a young age, same age as me, 40 years of old. So I'm looking forward to digging a little bit deeper on that. But let's start, JD, by bringing you all the way back to your education. Okay. Biological sciences, what was the thinking there?
Yeah, so actually never finished my degree. Went out of high school, wanted to be a doctor, was interested in the medical field. Did my freshman year of college, actually as my freshman year of college, 9/11 happened. So that summer I joined the military, Louisiana Army National Guard. I was struggling a little bit in college at the time as well. Decided to join the military as a combat medic or healthcare services to really see if medical field was what I wanted to stick with or not. And love the emergency side of medicine in the military. Did not really enjoy the supportive care hospital side of medicine, but stuck with it for a little bit. And then eventually my career led me into construction, which is where I've been really since around 2006.
Brilliant. So you're now you're a doctor of construction.
That's right.
Brilliant. I want to touch on the Army National Guard. I mean, you give 20 years of service as a platoon sergeant, so thanks for that. Give us a quick insight into that. How was that? How enjoyable was it? And how did you kind of balance it with work?
Yeah, the Army National Guard for us is 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks a year. Have always had great support from my owners and bosses throughout the years and supporting that. So it's been great to serve in that. It's taken we live in Louisiana, so we deal with hurricanes and as a National Guard, we're usually first responders in those. So it's been great. And I really think that the leadership that the military provided and the opportunity to grow in your career through the military, leading small teams to larger and larger teams of people, leading other leaders, just immense payback in the civilian career. We have a lot of employees that we're asking to step up into leadership roles and have never managed a team or led a team before. And I've really been lucky to have done that for the last 20 years in the military.
Brilliant. Yeah, you'd have learned a lot, JD.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Love it. Thank you for that. And then, so obviously didn't fancy the biological sciences, went straight into construction then 2008, started out as a foreman and then did a little stint as assistant superintendent. What was the thoughts going into construction? Was that something obviously maybe that you saw firsthand how important it was? Yeah. And then was there a mentor involved? Was there someone that given you advice? How did that all work?
Yeah, so 2005 in Louisiana, Hurricane Katrina hit. I was activated for 6 months with the National Guard, but really left a path of devastation in southern Louisiana and Mississippi. After that, got into cleaning up houses, gutting houses, just kind of side jobs while I was still in school, figuring out what I wanted to do. Eventually got into some residential construction. A buddy of mine started a crew where we were installing trim and cabinets and flooring for residential contractor. That didn't work out. And I was like, you know what, let me check out this commercial side of construction. So got online, really just Googled a bunch of commercial contractors in the Baton Rouge area. Got a phone call one day from a superintendent that said, hey, do you know how to do concrete? I'm like, well, I worked a few weeks for a buddy of mine's dad's company doing concrete a few years ago. And he's like, you're in the military? And I was like, yeah. He's like, well, you can lead people. You're my new concrete foreman. And I'm like, what did I just get myself into? So I'm the guy that shows up on the job site with the brand new tool bag, brand new boots, leading a group of guys. Had to lean on the military, really had to get out and show them that I knew what I was talking about, that I wasn't afraid to do the work with them. Did that for a little bit. And then at the company, they really just continued to provide opportunities for me. You know, they said, we did a multifamily project. They offered me the opportunity to go be a foreman on that and a big multifamily renovation project. Moved from there and doing some small projects around LSU's campus here in Baton Rouge, little small renovations as an assistant superintendent. And then got a phone call one day from the owner of the company and said, JD, I need you in the office tomorrow morning. I need you to wear slacks and a collared shirt. I'll see you here at 8 a.m. You know, so I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I'm thinking, I'm like, why do I have to dress up to get fired? You know, what did I do? And I get there and he was like, you know, JD, you're my new estimator. Like, I'm going to train you everything you need to know about estimating. You're going to work beside me, but we've got an opportunity for you to come in the office and really learn from us and grow into an estimating role. And that was around. Go ahead.
That's amazing, right? But obviously, he saw something in you. He was speaking with people. He said, JD, They obviously spoke highly about you on site. Yeah. How did you feel about that? Did you think, oh, I don't know, do I want to go to pre-con and ask the meeting, or do I want to stay on site?
Yeah, I think for me, it was an opportunity to learn more about the business than I was able to see in the field. Even today, I talk to a lot of our younger employees about the opportunity to see all sides of construction. When you're on a project, you really only get to see that project. It's one of the things that I've grown to love about pre-con. There's so many different projects and solutions and challenges that you're faced with every day in pre-con, and it's constantly changing and evolving, and you're seeing those throughout the process. So didn't really know what to expect, but they were a hard bid contractor. So it was sink or swim world. You know, you'd get a set of plans 3-4 weeks later, you've got to turn in a bid. And then you find out 15 minutes after you turned in the number, if you were low or not, and you moved on to the next one. So it was very fast paced, learned a lot in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, that the old competitive lump sum bid. I mean, I'll ask you, do you miss that side of it?
I do sometimes.
Yeah.
Bid day, I think for me is some of the most exciting times in construction. Just that chaos of fighting till the last 5-10 minutes to where you're finally turning in a number, deciding on what fee you're going to put in, what the number needs to be, what trade partner you're going in with the bid with, where you're going to take a risk, where you're not. Did you get any advantages? Have you worked it hard enough to be successful? And then just that, like, that those 5-10 minutes when you're waiting for the person that's turned the number in to call you back and tell you if you're low or not.
Yeah, it's game day. It's game day,
JD. It's
probably the closest thing that we'll get to sports. It's probably the closest thing you'll get to competitive sports within construction. It's
absolutely
literally one pre-con estimating team battling it out with another to see who comes out on top. And then, of course, if it's anything like recruitment, you meet them in the bar that night or the weekend and you go, yeah, we got that one.
That's a great analogy.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's hard to beat. I had Chris DeMarco from DPR. He's up in the Northeast. And he misses that a lot. He's the same. And he's quite a competitive guy, sports background. I think any young person, and it's hard now because not everyone does lump sum or hard bid. There's a lot of construction management negotiated work going on. I think to really experience, like, listen, we talk about your field experience being so important, but I think a good hard bid, a year or two at hard bid will really... it'll refine your estimating and your prices a lot more.
Yeah, we do a lot of CMAR design assist work here at LeMoyne, and we've talked about that internally. About you don't get to celebrate those wins as much on the CMAR side. You know, you work on a project for 7, 8, 9 months, sometimes over a year. You turn in a GMP number and you've got the job under budget, and there's no real fanfare to it. It's just, okay, well, you know, that was a lot of hard work. Thank y'all for y'all's hard time. And then you start working on another one. And we've tried to focus on that and celebrating those successes and those big wins where, you know, used to on the hard bid, you won the job, everyone would ring a bell or run around the office hooping and hollering and trying to bring some of that excitement back into pre-con. We still pursue some hard bid work. And I think for us, it keeps that aggression and that mindset, even in the design assist and CMAR world. It really does help to hone those skills a lot.
Brilliant.
When you've got that hard deadline that you've got to turn it into, it's important. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and the culture and the team environment, I mean, that just kind of solidifies it.
Yeah.
And not only does it give them good exposure and it kind of sharpens them a little bit, but it's easier building a culture that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting everyone in that war room is a lot of fun.
I love it. So that was in 2009, you went into lead estimating and you really haven't looked back since. I mean, we're not going to go through your whole career, but then you came to LeMoyne and really grew quickly into a regional director of pre-con. Obviously, again, like your early years, you were put into a leadership pretty early. It sounds like it's the same here now. How is that going? How have you kind of developed as a pre-con leader? And what has been most important during that phase?
Absolutely. So I came to Le Moyne for the opportunity. You know, I actually took a reduction in title, knowing that there was going to be opportunities for us. Le Moyne's the largest contractor in Louisiana, was really the one that you kind of circle that if they ever call, you would listen. So was completely honored to get the call to come here, and then was just amazed when I got here, sitting at the table with the amount of knowledge surrounded you. When you're talking about a project and you've got a senior superintendent and a senior PM that have built some of these marquee projects that I've never had the opportunity to even look at in pre-con on some of the sizes with some of the previous employers. So really, I tried to be a sponge as much as I could when I got here. Worked underneath other lead and senior estimators, tried to, you know, you kind of bring in, when you start a new company, you bring in a little bit of your way and some of your previous employer's way, but tried to, as much as I could, really learn the Le Moyne way and what that looked like, what their best practices were, what success looked like for them. And had some great people to learn from, even some peers that we were able to bounce ideas off of. And at Le Moyne, we strive to provide opportunity. You know, we try and grow the company every year. And it's not just to grow on the E&R, you know, top list. It is to provide opportunities for our people. And when I tell people my story, no more than myself. So I'm moving into 2023 and now taking over our entire pre-construction department. So it's been great. Had a ton of mentors, a ton of people, and a great staff that have been with us for a long time. And really a great process that I've able to kind of add a little bit of my history and knowledge from, tweak it a little bit and make it better. We are constantly trying to improve our process throughout pre-con and project management and field and safety and all those great things that we do in construction. And it's been fun to just to be a part of that.
Brilliant. And something that resonates with me when I speak to other leaders within pre-con throughout their careers, you had the foresight to maybe take one step back to go two steps forward, but also to throw yourself into kind of environments that maybe you weren't 100% sure that you were going to be comfortable in, but you were willing to learn. And I think that in itself, that's a commonality I see with a lot of leaders. Because if you don't do that and you remain comfortable, I don't think you actually learn and you don't move forward as fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in pre-con it's fun because you can grow in pre-con into leadership roles, right? Where you go maybe manage a team and don't spend as much time leading estimates anymore, or you can really become an expert in leading estimates. So you really have this career path for you that you can go in any direction. You can move into a senior estimator where you get the most complicated and challenging projects and you're leading them as that senior or chief estimator, or you can move in a managerial role where you can oversee and make sure that teams are following the process and that you're managing risk. So in pre-con is great. I think we talked to a lot of college kids that everyone wants to be a project manager. You know, no one wants to be an estimator. And I don't think they understand what estimating means today in this world. And really you're a pre-construction manager. I mean, you're managing that project throughout pre-construction. And it's a lot different scenario. A lot of them think they're going to be stuck behind a computer all day long and doing takeoff and I'm telling them that's the last thing I want you to be doing. So it's fun, the opportunities in pre-con for everyone involved, and the different ways to grow throughout this industry are great that I think a lot of people don't think about when they're in college.
Yeah, 100%. You took the words out of my mouth. But I think it comes back to the education system. I know we're kind of pivoting off a little bit, but the education systems, if they're doing a construction management degree, 98% of the construction management degree is around operations and project management, superintendent, and processes on the field, where in fact, there should be a complete module, a complete, listen, I'm not going to say you completely revamp it 50-50, but there's got to be 30-35% of the degree that's to do with pre-construction, BIM, VDC, data, all the good stuff that comes within pre-construction. I mean, you're listening to the podcast. I'm standing here. I'm screaming. I'm saying, if I was a parent now and my kids are 6 and 4, I would be telling them to get into pre-construction. The biggest decisions are made there. You can see more projects. There's so many advantages, but also pre-construction is so wide and so varied. Mm-hmm. You can get into a multitude of jobs within pre-construction.
Absolutely. We, you know, at Lemoyne, we have what we call a Lemoyne Engineering Advancement Program, where we take college graduates, we put them in a project engineer role where they do a rotation through pre-construction, a rotation through project management, and a rotation through field and superintendent role. And historically, it takes them about 3 years to go through that. And you know, you get some people like, I know I want to be a PM. I don't want to go through an estimating rotation. And we tell them, like, your time in estimating is going to make you a better PM.
Yeah.
Your time as a superintendent is going to make you a better PM. Or you might get into estimating and you might realize that it's not at all what you thought it was. But in creating more well-rounded individuals, we think makes it better for each role. But it also provides them opportunity where if the market starts to slide and we need additional resources in pre-con, and you've been trained in that, we can pull you back in out of the field, and you're really a more diverse employee for yourself. And look, if your life changes later on in the future and you don't want to travel and be in the field and you want to come and a little more security in the office, then pre-con's always there for you. So
right. It's incredible. And that itself, I mean, that program Lemoyne are running, it's unbelievable. So any graduates out there that is looking for a complete program, you know where you're going. But before that, right, the problem that I have is, and the big issue is, every graduate, every high school person thinks that construction is project management and superintendent. So they're looking at it and they're saying, I don't want to go on site and wear a hard hat and get my feet dirty and get my hands dirty. So we're missing all the good graduates that maybe are going to financial services, going into IT, going to do a degree in that. And they're thinking, there's nothing like that analytics data. There's nothing like that in construction where it's completely changed and it's completely like that now. Now, we're still a little bit behind, but we're getting there really, really fast. So that's the talent that we're missing out at high school level.
I think it's a great point. I think
they're taking their degrees off what their perception is, whereas the perception of construction is not mud and dirt and concrete and steel.
It's a great point. And I think it's up to us to go do that, right? Like, the industry isn't going to change on its own. It's up to us to get out there and show the opportunities that there are in construction, and especially in pre-construction.
Big time. Bob Kovacs, we did a great podcast about that, and he went into it in great details. He works with Skilled USA, and if you haven't listened to it, folks, get on and get a lot listened to it. But he drills down on that much, much more. But listen, let's move on. We're talking about, we touched on it slightly there, pre-construction technology. Now, as a regional, as a pre-con leader, you're leading the whole company within pre-con. What excites you about technology? What are you using at the moment? What do you see in the future?
Yeah, you know, we're still using Sage Estimating. I demo probably a new estimating software once a month. And I don't see anything that's really changed the bar for what we do as far as putting a detailed estimate together. Are looking into way more. I think that personally we're behind the needle a little bit on tracking some of the data and data analytics, that we're trying to move a little more into that area with Power BI and some things. So I'm interested to see where that's going to take us, just around historical costs. Looked into, you know, I tell all of my estimators that I don't want them doing takeoff. like the, I call it coloring. You're tracing over someone else's lines with pretty colors. You're not adding value to the project. Let's get in. We're using a symbol. You know, our BDC department is helping us with Revit and things, but the designer has already drawn those lines. The quantities are there. The information's there. You need to be determining what we need to do with that information to provide value to our clients. So it's interesting to see where Precon and construction technology is going to go in that front, more and more so. Just the speed to knowledge, right? Like when I first started in construction, you were given a set of drawings and some colored pencils and a ledger pad, and you were doing your takeoff, and you may be doing some self-perform estimates or quantifying some things, but you're learning on a 2D set of drawings that it really took spatial awareness to figure out what that 2D was supposed to look like in 3D. And the wildest thing is that we've got architects designing in 3D to print to 2D for us to go build in 3D. So giving someone, especially a college grad or someone just entering their career, and being able to let them look at a model, that understanding of architectural intent happens so much faster. But then how do we, you know, transferring and getting that into our trade partners, I think is the biggest challenge really that we face right now. 90% of a construction project is our trade partners. It's not the GC. So making sure that they understand what that intent is, making sure that we're covering the gaps and things like that is really where I want my team to spend their time. So, we've done demos with the Toggle AI guys. They've got an impressive AI software around quantity takeoff that could help as it grows in the future of minimizing the time we spend in pre-con doing takeoff. But, you know, I want my team to be on the phone with trade partners. I want them to be talking about the project, learning about it, looking at constructability issues, talking to our ops team and how we're going to build the job and conveying that to our team members. And that communication challenge and keeping that up is where we try and focus most of our team.
Brilliant. I love it. And actually, Bob Kovacs said that as well. He says it's up to us to get people into the trades from high school, whether it be degrees or colleges, or like you and me. I mean, I was the same. I was doing a degree that I knew it wasn't for me. I just had a feeling it wasn't for me. So that is the people that we need to capture and get in there. And you mentioned the trade partners. Is it a case of, do you see that the trade partners that are really evolving, and there's other trade partners that are standing still, whether that be through technology or openness or getting involved in the projects even earlier?
Yeah, I don't know what markets are doing outside of Louisiana. We don't do a lot of work outside of here. So I don't know if Texas and California and, you know, and New York are more advanced than us, but what we see in our market right now is just everyone is still so busy that you're having trouble finding, they're having trouble finding workforce. We're having trouble finding trade partners. So even in a project, when you're trying to go look at it, it's difficult to find the right teams for that. And you do, you've got the top end that are really progressing, are reaching out, doing BIM, some of those that are doing some prefab work, things like that. And then you've got the guys and girls that are just trying to keep up. That haven't spent the time to focus on that. So it's really trying to find who's right for the job on each job is a big challenge right now. Because
and I think all
of this escalation and everything, all of us thought that the world was going to slow down and construction was going to back off, and we've seen it continue to grow.
So, JD, it has to. You think about the capacity deficit we had before COVID, and even we're still in COVID. I mean, it's huge. So all those projects that were paused, that were canceled, that were delayed, I mean, they all have to be built as well as all the other projects. I mean, it's just construction itself. It can't afford another, and I don't think it's going to go into a recession or anything like that. It can't afford, it's got to keep going and get these things built. And you're right. And again, it's, it's having the time, it's the balance of having the time to do the work that they have right now well, but also improve that the next project they take on is the progress is continuing. I think people are quite harsh on construction in general that say they're not innovative, they're not developing, they're not technologically advanced enough, but they literally haven't had a chance to breathe in the last 20 years. And it's finding that time. But I think I've seen a huge difference in the last probably 7 or 8 years. Everybody that I speak to at C-suite, VPs, directors, regional directors of pre-construction, they're all talking tech and they're ready. They realize now that unless they engage and implement technology, they are never going to be able to deliver the projects that they've got on the books right now, never mind 2024, 2025. So I think it's a super exciting time.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. And then just navigating things, we talked about obviously COVID, supply chain, price materials, economic stability. Those things aren't helping. Do you see them settling down 2023?
I do. I see we have started already to see some of the escalations in the traditional commodity market start to slow down for us. I still see some concern in manufacturing and chips, you know, mechanical and electrical. I still see escalating, into the future. But our structural steel building products, we've seen level off and actually start to come back down a good bit, which has helped. During the height of COVID, we're shifting buildings to cast in place concrete structures from structural steel because steel's going through the roof, and now steel's coming back and those jobs are flipping and we're wondering, did we make the right decision? But we're starting to see a level out a lot. It'll be interesting to see how the escalation goes into this year. Into 2023, if we start to tail off towards the end of the year. I really think, though, that this is the new norm, that we've probably are going to level out at some type of plateau, and your cost per square foot for everything that you've learned over the last 15 years has got to go out the window because your new cost per square foot are kind of the new normal. And we've got to adjust to that. We've got to educate owners on that. I think that's some of our biggest challenge over the last 2 years is, you know, when a project is over budget for an owner, it's automatically, it feels like there's a lack of trust. So it's about rebuilding that, showing them, trying to be as transparent as possible, explaining what's going on in the market. That was the biggest thing. We thought that escalation was going to offset workload and maybe that you were going to get some trade partners or some contractors that were a little more aggressive because they didn't have work. And everyone continued to have work. So it'll be interesting 2023 to see what that happens. But I do think this is the new normal. Our cost per square foot where they're at now are probably going to level out. And this is what we're going to see in the near future.
Yeah, exactly. Very rarely when you see stuff like that happening, very rarely does it come up and come all the way back down again. It's going to, as you say, it might come back a little bit, but it's not going to come back as much as we want it to come back. And listen, as long as it's achievable and we can still do it and we can still build bigger and better projects, then so be it. And as long as you say, transparency, collaboration with the client, I love it. And then what about you personally, JD? Obviously, you're a very high-performing person within Precon professionally. What do you do to relax, and how do you maintain your level of performance?
I try to disconnect when I'm not here, you know, as much as possible. My phone goes on snooze at a certain time every evening where emails are on snooze, phone calls are on snooze, unless you're immediate family, it goes off. And really try and be intentional when I'm here and intentional with my family when I'm away from here and being focused. I did a training class a few months ago, and one of the things that I stuck from it was they called it your My 168. And it was, you got 168 hours in a week, and that's it. How are you going to spend them? And even if you work 60 hours a week and you sleep 60 hours a week, you still got, you know, 40 hours a week that you can do whatever you want to do. So have picked up golf in the last year, which I don't know if that's the most relaxing way to spend my time. It's probably one of the most frustrating things that I've ever done. But it is. I think you've got to be intentional with what you're doing. And when you're at work, you've got to be here at work, and you've got to be focused and intentional with where you spend your time. And then when you leave here, you've got to turn it off. And then when I'm with my wife or my family or my friends, I've got to be there and not half at work and half there. Yeah. And I think that's really been the success for me.
Brilliant. Yeah. Be present. Be present is brilliant advice for anybody that's looking to grow into a leadership role like you're in. So thanks for that. The golf thing, as you say, I play golf as well. Sometimes it stresses me out more than work.
Right.
Slicing things and missing putts. But as you say, it's 4 or 5 hours away. And it literally, one thing it does take your mind away from everything. And essentially that's what you're looking for, especially when work's hectic. Cool. Well, listen, JD, this has been absolutely fascinating. Some great nuggets coming out of this, and I'm sure the audience will love it. There's something telling me that we're going to have you back on again to discuss a few specific topics. So thank you very much for today and coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Enjoyed it.
Hey folks, just a quick reminder about Advancing Pre-Construction 2023. It's happening in Phoenix, Arizona. It's happening on May 24th to May 26th. Now, if you're interested in going, it's the biggest and largest gathering of pre-con and estimating professionals. I'll be there, and a lot of my guests will be there as well. If you're thinking about going, get over to the website, simply Google Advancing Pre-Construction. During the checkout, simply put in podcast 10 to get a 10% discount. There's also early registration discounts as well.
Hey everyone, I'm Stuart Carroll. I'm the president at Beck Technology. We are based in Dallas, Texas, and we are a pre-construction software company. We were founded in 1996. And we've really been focused on the world of pre-construction. We believe that pre-construction is where the biggest decisions that impact the outcome of a project occur. And we believe that through the use of technology, we can enable our users to make better, more informed pre-construction decisions, the net result of which is to make the world a better place. We're excited to announce our partnership with Niche. And one of the things that really excites me is bringing pre-construction professionals the opportunity to get certified in our latest product, Destiny Estimator. It's our belief that if we can help you understand how integrated pre-construction and pre-construction data lifecycle can benefit your business, it will ultimately improve the pre-construction services that you bring to your customers. And we'd like to announce that we're going to be releasing this at the end of Q1, and it's available to anybody that's a friend of Niche.
JD King, it is your time. Question time. Okay, all right. First question. Favorite project?
Favorite project, let's see, we did one of my first CMAR projects that we were able to deliver for the state of Louisiana was a teaching hospital in Shreveport. Had a BSL-3 lab in it, and just the complications of that lab with the teaching and education side, really cool building, and one of our first jobs for me as a leader to deliver in the CMAR delivery method was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you don't forget your first, do you?
Yeah.
Brilliant. And then what about de-stressing and your hobby?
Golf. I don't know if it's de-stressing, but try to get away and get some rounds, or at least go to the range once or twice a week.
What's the handicap?
Oh, it's bad. I just started this year, so I don't know if I have enough rounds to even have a handicap yet. Yeah, so
I would say it's in and around what my handicap is as well. Biggest lesson learned in pre-construction so far?
Great question. Biggest lesson learned, probably that an estimate's never done, that you've got to decide when it's done. I don't think you'll ever sit back and say this estimate is absolutely 100%. I've done everything I can, but you've got to understand when you've done enough.
Brilliant. Love it. Favorite food?
pizza.
Oh, that's twice we've had pizza. I'm the same. Yeah. What about mentor? Shout out to the person that's had a good influence. You can do it to a couple of people if you want.
Yeah, I mean, a few. One, my dad, of course, just was a mechanic growing up. His work ethic that he instilled in us is unmatched. Another wild one, I was in Boy Scouts when I was young and had a scout leader, Mr. Blue Watson, that just would wake us up every morning. And I will remember this for the rest of my life. He'd say, it's a new day. No one's ever seen it before. And I still to this day wake up in the morning and think about that. And then in construction, a ton. I mean, really too many to list. This has been an industry that is full of mentors and people willing to help each other. So.
Brilliant. And that's what we need more of. Good. What about favorite sports team?
Favorite sports team? College has got to be LSU. LSU football, LSU Tigers here in Baton Rouge. And then I'm a big Yankees fan in baseball.
Good. Love it. What about pre-con hacks? Something that you wish you picked up earlier in your career?
Oh, I think probably checklist. Yeah. I think if I would have developed early on a checklist for me to make sure I was getting everything done and not forgetting it, I really would have been more successful earlier on.
Love it. What about favorite eatery? Or it can be a pub locally there.
Favorite eatery. I'll say actually we went Saturday night to a place downtown Baton Rouge, Little Village, that was phenomenal. Service was great. Steaks were great. They've got a bread they bring out that's just phenomenal. So,
JD King, thank you very much. You have been incredible, sir.
Absolutely, Gary. Thank you for your time.
JD King, thank you very much for that. I hope you enjoyed that episode of the podcast. I hope to bring more young leaders within the pre-con market. I'm also going to start up a separate, it's going to be maybe called the next generation of pre-construction talent, because I want to get their voice heard as well and try and improve this wonderful world of pre-construction. So stay tuned for that. And again, thank you very much for listening.